Lexington.com.
Another arm wrestling match or two on the Capitol, but on Sunday it was about remembering 9/11. The entire nation at half mast, if you will. That's where the flags were flown. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. You know, we like to zig and zag all over the place. We call the show Water Cooler Buzz of the overnight variety. I know a lot of you have opinions on where we're headed, what went wrong, all those kind of things, and you can definitely share them with us at any point during the show. What was the most poignant image that you took away from that day? No matter how old you are, there had to be something that you remember, whether it was just the towers on fire, the towers themselves coming down, the roar of the tower, the images of the people covered in soot and the papers flying out all over the place. Or maybe it was something else. The firemen. When you think of those brave firemen who, that's what they do for a living, didn't think about it and just kept going up, going up, going up. And what have they left behind? Families, a lot of families. There were 50% of the people that were killed, the close to 3,000 people that were killed, had children 18 or younger, younger than 18 years old. So imagine so many of those kids that were toddlers, or perhaps let's say they were barely 10, what memories they take away from that. And it's the never forget. I think it's those two words that at some point you have to feel. Never, ever forget the worst terror attack on American soil, the tragedy of it all, and what lessons have we learned, if any, as we move forward. 800-259-5791. Rudy Giuliani was the mayor of the city of New York. And people who didn't live in the Northeast or didn't live specifically in New York didn't realize perhaps the ups and downs that he had with New York. There were a lot of people that didn't like Giuliani, but everything changed during the whole 9/11 because of how he reacted, to what was happening and everything that he did in becoming, let's face it, the face of this tragedy, because they would constantly televise what he was saying, what he was doing in his press conferences, because for one, you had very little coming out of George Bush, who was at that school in Sarasota, then was on the plane, and they were scrambling. So initially, in the very beginning, it was Rudy Giuliani that the world heard from the most. Here's a little bit of what he had to say about the people who were lost and moving forward, his thoughts on how tough it is for the people who lost them.
God bless every soul that we lost. God bless the family members who have to endure that loss. And God guide us to our reunion in heaven.
I thought that was well put, and he was short and succinct, said a little bit more, but that was the gist of it. Now, the former governor of New York, George Pataki, talked about the names, putting in the context of a poet who wrote a poem about the names. The names now are what has come out of any of the memorials, the reading of the names in New York, is that it was done year after year to, quotes, never forget. That's where a lot of that phrase comes from. Read the names, make it personal. These were living, breathing human beings that were cut down in many cases in their prime. Here's Pataki.
Names wheeled in the dim warehouse of memory. So many names, there is barely room on the walls of the heart.
Boy, isn't that true. Barely room on the walls of the heart. Great message to take, I think, out of all of that. Moving forward, there were ceremonies at all three places, meaning Washington, D.C., Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and naturally New York, what was Ground Zero. And now in that site at Lower Manhattan, where the world was certainly changed, that attack on September 11th, 2001, now you have the 9/11 Memorial and Museum, which is where the towers went down, where the North Tower went down. You have an exact standing frame, a North Tower pool. You have a South Tower pool. And you have a memorial site that covers 8 acres. And then ultimately, there's a museum pavilion, things, items that were found in the middle of all that horror, like a ripped-up fire truck from Ladder Company 3. Other personal items that were found, melted the corners of a melted credit card from somebody who worked in the North Tower, shoes, all kinds of things to remember the people who lost their lives on that day. Now, the museum itself is not open, but the pools are and the trees are in the other site. So people going to New York can get tickets. It's free, but you have to reserve the tickets for certain times because I think this is wonderful what they're doing. They don't want a rush of people. They want people to be able to go through and reflect or do whatever it is that they want to do there. So they're trying to keep it that way, keep crowds from not getting too big. And if you are going to New York, I checked out the website. It's 911memorial.org because you can't just go there any longer. You can't just go to that park. Otherwise, you won't be able to actually see these reflecting pools with all of the names, all the victims being remembered. Wow. Just powerful, powerful stuff. So if you want to share any memories from what happened on that day, feel free to do it. I know we've been doing this really all along for the past week, and some of you have sent me thoughts, and we will check the email coming up here in our next segment, specifically about that morning and about what you remember. And I think that's the thing. People remember. It's sadly one of those moments. Do you remember where you were when the plane went into the first tower, when the plane crashed into the North Tower? Were you rushing off to school somewhere? Were you on a train somewhere? Were you sleeping? Certainly many of the people in part of the United States, it was very, very early in the morning, and many of them were sleeping or getting up to jog or take the dog for a walk or start morning breakfast, but the day would never be the same for anyone, and the world is now longer not the same since September 11th, 2001. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Of this hour of America tonight. We're not going to send you off without giving you the skinny on the NFL. After all, you know what? Many of the victims' families, when they talked about missing husbands, firemen who were brothers, they would talk about football. I mean, they had a huge football game and football teams from various firehouses in New York City, for example. But really, all of them, regardless, football was a big uniter for many of the victims of 9/11, and it was something that the families carried forward, the passion for whatever team. They kept their jerseys, handed them to the kids, that kind of thing. So football did go on 9/11. In fact, the Dallas Cowboys played the Jets on Sunday night football, and it wasn't looking good that the New York team was going to hold up their end. I'll give you a hint. In the end, they were able to pull it out. So we will hit the NFL games for all of you who are saying, are you only going to do 9/11 kind of stuff, which I did get a couple of emails about that, saying no disrespect, but are you going to talk about other things as well? And, of course, here in America tonight, that's what we do, the whole crossroads of the country and even beyond our borders. So we'll get to that to be sure. But it was a day about remembering another day, a terrible day in our history. But how were we inspired? How have we moved forward as a nation, because after all, that's what you have to do. You have to take those steps. You have to survive and thrive. And I think a lot of those families were able to do that, and they, many of them have thrived, as difficult as it was in dealing with it, the loss of spouses and sons and, you know, any, think of any family chain, and you got it, because everybody was certainly represented on that day, a day where families were, let's face it, the worst thing that you can ever imagine, being blindsided, getting phone calls or not getting phone calls, scrambling to try to figure out if somebody was on a plane, if somebody was in a tower, if somebody was in the wrong spot where they were sitting in the Pentagon, because ultimately that's how some people lost their lives. They lost them on the ground. And others survived, too. So others survived with some pretty terrible injuries, but were able to get help and were able to move forward with burns or whatever and have done some just tremendous, tremendous, tremendous things. And we've seen all these stories that have been displayed out for the last couple of years. So in moving forward to all of your thoughts, you once again sent in tons of emails, and most of it did surround the day. So let's, without further ado, go to the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. Here's one from Joe. Kate, I've been listening to you for a while now in Connecticut. It's been at least 5 or 6 months. I enjoy the show. It was a very strange day, and I get the sense that you feel the same way. Strange because of what happened to our nation on that day and how it was played out over and over and over again, how most people were just completely caught off guard by the events. When I say most people, because they weren't expecting to go off to work and not come back again. They weren't expecting to go off to work and have to fight to come back again. These were working people. This wasn't a war. It turned into a war. And I guess when I think of images, the image I take out of 9/11 is the towers going down, because you saw it so many times and you could hardly believe it. How could they not know? How could this tower not withstand this plane crashing into it? Thank you. And that's what he said, just thank you at the end. You know, that was the question. The question everybody actually was saying originally, when the first plane went into the North Tower, as many of you know, I think that even in the city itself, people were saying, other than those on the street that saw something, people were saying, oh, that has to be a weird accident. How could that possibly happen? How could that have gotten off the radar? It had to be a weird thing. But once the second plane went into the next tower, then all bets were off. Then everybody was aware that obviously we were under attack in some form. And was it even, you know, had it spread even further, and what was going on in other spots, and what had happened, and people were scrambling to try to find details. All right, here's one from Anne listening to us in Illinois. And she says, boy, that was a very tough day. It was very tough because even though I'm living in the Midwest, I still had a burning sensation in my chest for the people who I knew had lost much more than you can even put into words. And perhaps that's the thing that I take away from that terrible day, that people were just left speechless. There really are no words, Kate. You know, that's true. There really are no words that can completely, I think, eloquently, I guess, form what so many of us thought on that day. It's so tough to put into words. And people have done it beautifully, and people have talked about it, and they have recorded thoughts. And this is one of the things they're going to do at the museum. They've recorded all kinds of recollections and that sort of thing. But for the most part, because people were certainly caught unaware of what was going on, I think you just didn't want to believe. I think there was a disconnect for so many people, and even people that whether they were close to the situation or not close to the situation, that would be probably the common thread. Let's go to another one. This one is from Little Joe, who says, Kate, I have to tell you that I worked in New York when that happened, and I was one of the people who left the city. I didn't work near the World Trade Centers. Of course, I have been to the towers many, many times and looked to the skyline. You've talked about that before, and always looked for the towers as a landmark. But it was so sad to see the grief and the tears and everything else on the faces of people in the subway that I got on. It was a very, very scary, scary day. And most New Yorkers were trying to help each other. That's what it felt like to me. It was a city really coming together and coming to grips with something they couldn't believe was happening to them. And yeah, well said. People had that look of, I can't believe this is happening. The one of the things that I remember, and it was there for a long time. In fact, I think there's places you can certainly go to the museum, and once this other museum is open, you'll be able to see all the artifacts, or if you want to call them historical collections of things that were found at Ground Zero and places near Ground Zero. But because I was traveling in and around the city a lot, and all kinds of spots you would see, not just the obvious spots, it almost looked like they were wanted posters. You would see pictures, all kinds of pictures of all kinds of different people. Please help me find my husband. My son is missing. And then it would have some details and a picture of whoever the person was, as though you were going to be able to say, oh, let me call this number because I've run into them. That somehow the need to put something up on posts and different areas just under the hope that somebody would be able to make a phone call and say, oh, guess what? You know, your son was knocked unconscious and he's right here and you can come and get him or whatever. I think that it's like the missing child, the missing dog, I guess missing pets, where people think when they put that up, somebody's going to have some news. But this was a horrific disconnect because there was no news. There were just dead people. There were just body parts at Ground Zero. And, in fact, it's one of the things that's often talked about, that everybody in all the hospitals rushed to the hospitals because they figured they'd have so many people that would be injured that they'd have to deal with. There's just tons of people streaming in. But, in fact, it wasn't that, because it was people that lost their lives for the most part. Yes, there were injuries, but not to the amount at all, anywhere near what they thought. Even the amount of people, Rudy Giuliani didn't want to say a total because he thought the number was higher. He thought it was closer to maybe 10 or 12,000 people and just did not want to announce that. Stay with us. More on Remembering 9/11 next.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. All other whey proteins are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is now the standard by which all other whey protein powders can be measured. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's one world, WHEY.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I file from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Democrats, Republicans, have you had enough? Want real change? Then change yourself. Join a new political party formed to liberate the American people from the banksters who have overthrown the republic. If you agree with maximum liberty, limited government, and traditional morality, then you agree with American Third Position. Get more information now. Call 800-513-4928 or go to a3p.me. That's A, the number 3, P. Me. It's time to take America back.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Now, don't just walk away, pretending everything's okay and you don't care about.
Heavy security as we continue to talk about 9/11, the day of remembering here in America tonight. There's heavy security across New York. Remember, part of what I had heard from somebody in Washington, and what was heavily being reported anyway, that there might be three men, there might be car bombs, they try to hit the tunnels and the bridges. So they beefed up security even more, though there was already a lot of it blanketing the city anyway. But once the rumor started to flow and they were trying to see if there was anything substantive to it, that there were, in fact, that anybody they could pinpoint, then they just tried to push it a little bit further and tried to beef, so to speak, up the patrol areas, especially with cars. So you could feel that heavy presence in lower Manhattan, which makes sense. And they're trying to hunt down the possible plotters of any kind of a terrorist attack. But what's new? That's every single day, right? It's just that I had heard it was pretty credible information, but, you know, what does credible mean? That there would be perhaps three attackers, that they were trying to blow up some car, and it could be in Washington, not just New York, or it could be both places. But there's no hard evidence anyway that's been released that there was an actual terrorist op underway. Just they say that they're looking into several leads. John Brennan, who's the assistant to the president for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, was on one of the Sunday shows and talked about it, that it's not confirmed yet, but they were not relaxing their efforts because they felt like the information was credible, if nothing else. So what happened was, partially maybe a little bit because of this, roads were blocked. They were going to be, some of that was going to happen anyway. Police checkpoints for cars and pedestrians surrounding the memorial were set up. Backpacks were checked by bomb-sniffing dogs. They were put through X-ray machines. And because you had President Barack Obama and you had the former President George W. Bush and others that were at the ceremony at the former World Trade Center site, of course you're going to have lots of cops. You're going to have lots of heavily armed people and a lot of security agents, Secret Service. It would be like a reunion for them. And some of them were actually wearing body armor and all that kind of stuff because they wanted to be able to act if they had to. In fact, at the ceremony, the president and the first lady stood behind bulletproof protection because they were that worried, concerned about any kind of a sniper even possibility. And they say two of the three people that are supposedly involved in this, were involved in this potential plot on the 9/11 anniversary, were Americans that happened to be of Arab descent who traveled to the United States last week. Supposedly, again, there's no definite hardcore information on this, and this is the same thing that I had heard out of a source at the Pentagon, the same thing that he had never seen people that on edge, that there was a lot of concern. And then the third person, supposedly of the two, they say that they've been piecing together clues from flight logs and manifests and other stuff, trying to figure out where the two were. And then this third person supposedly was traveling through Europe, but whether they came to the U.S. or not, and who knows, and whether or not there's a plot. So it's the same old thing, really. It's what you deal with when you're in those roles of the FBI, whether you're Robert Mueller or the New York City Police Commissioner like Raymond Kelly. I mean, nothing has changed. There are always threats, and then you have to identify them and try to hopefully thwart them, stop them, you know, set them down before something happens. Speaking of Ray Kelly talked about what it was like on that day, looking back for him, remembering what happened. Take a listen.
I was in Midtown Manhattan. I saw the first tower fall. And, I had been a commissioner in 1993, the first World Trade Center attack. And, to see the building fall is an image that just indelibly imprinted in my mind.
Yeah, see, there's that image thing. Jim Ryder, a first responder, talked about, you know, all you thought about was, I got to get down there. I got to help. Nobody's thinking buildings are collapsing or any of that. They're just thinking they have to help people. And he certainly echoed that sentiment.
When I left my house that morning, I had been told on the radio that 78 police officers were dead. So I was going into the city knowing that I was under incredible challenge, but didn't stop, didn't hesitate. And that's what the responders are all about.
Yeah, and that's what it is all about. Sadly, with the memorial, when the memorial went up in the way they had it, and of course, because of the heavy security as well and the lack of space, the responders weren't invited to this first memorial. It was just for the victims' families. That's it. And they had to let the families trickle in, too, by the way, in getting them in. They wanted to make sure that they could see their families, you know, their loved one's name and soak in the memorial, all that sort of stuff, because they haven't seen it. They haven't been there. This is their first time to actually go in and see. So that they only wanted the families. They only wanted to have to worry about the security for that. And there's just still something. I understand that, but there's just still something wrong. And maybe some of you don't feel the same way, but don't you think there's something wrong about not finding a way to even have a representative of some of these first responders or the police officers or some of the firemen? I know that ultimately some of them did make their way there, but what a faux pas that was in not making sure there was some representation and announcing that right from the very, very beginning. By the way, some of the stuff that has bubbled up over the day was because of the threats. There were three trucks actually that were stolen that were part of what the New York City police was trying to track down because of the threat. Was there something more than just some stolen trucks? And two of the trucks were owned by a construction company that actually operated at the World Trade Center site. However, they were reported stolen enough time over a week ago. They had about $70,000 worth of tools on them, which could mean somebody was just smart enough to get the tools, knowing what they were doing, sadly, and has nothing to do with the connection to somebody trying to get into the city and blow up a bomb, a car bomb, or, you know, whatever. One of them they did find over the weekend. Nobody was in it. It was unlocked, and it was in a residential area. And they don't think that there's any kind of connection there, but that's the way you got to think. And that's the way we all are thinking now since 9/11, what happened 10 years ago. It has changed our way of life, including Matt Johnson's, who's, Matt, you were, 19 or maybe 20 years old when? No, you probably were 19 when this happened, right?
Yeah, I was 19.
And what do you remember?
I remember I had class that morning because it was my sophomore year of college, and I remember coming down the steps from my room, and somebody else, I don't remember who, somebody had the TV on and was saying there was like a plane crashed into the World Trade Center, and we were sitting there talking about it, and I just remember watching this other object coming into the view of the screen, and I watched the second plane hit the other tower live. Like, I was sitting there, I was just like, what is going on? This is crazy, you know, and it's obviously something on purpose is happening. And I just remember the shock of that happening, and then all of our classes were canceled that day, and pretty much just sat on the couch all afternoon long. And then I had to work that night. I remember this was back in the old bartending days, and it was the one and only night I ever closed that bar down early because everyone was just at home.
Right. They didn't want to go even have a drink on their own couch or something. They didn't want to go to a bar. Wow. And do you think that so Matt, it's interesting. Matt represents a generation in moving forward that was old enough to completely understand and grasp the severity of what was happening. And now in going into adulthood and getting deeper into it, carrying that, the change of the way we do things in the United States. I can remember traveling so much, I can't tell you how many times I would get to the airport just in the nick of time. No big deal. You just run down the airport, you know, as long as you had a half an hour or whatever it was, and you always made the plane. Of course, now things are different, and right after 9/11, things were horrific. I would fly into Philadelphia or New York from Texas, or I'd be somewhere else, and I'd be flying into another part of the Northeast, and you just didn't know. It would take hours to get through the airport. It'd be lucky. Occasionally you'd get lucky. You'd go and you'd be like, wow, you're kidding me. Nobody's in line. I actually get to get through the line. I don't have to have my bags swabbed and stand there for half an hour. And so certainly all of that has changed with airline travel. There is no question about it. Stay with us. We're talking some football next.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the greatest depression is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Stop feeling stressed, tired, and overwhelmed by everything happening in your life. You can reach optimum health and wellness today by listening to Healthy Alternatives on WebTalkRadio.net. Dr. Jerry Teplitz, a stress management pioneer, gives you tips and consults the experts about getting rid of stress, fatigue, even headaches and migraines. Go to WebTalkRadio.net and click on Healthy Alternatives. You'll be glad you did.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Bradford fakes, has the football knocked away. It is picked up by the Eagles, picked up by Jaquay Parker at the 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Jaquay Parker all the way for a touchdown on the fumble by Sam Bradford.
Peterson will try to run this one back. Caught at the 12, head of steam upfield, 15, to the 20, the 30. Down the near sideline, 50. There's no white jerseys that are going to catch him. 20, 15, 10, 5. He dives for the end zone touchdown.
Double, kicked it out to the right side. Got wide open glass. 30, 35, 40, 45 down the sideline. Champion Jr., oh my, he's going to go the length of the field for a touchdown.
Champion Jr., who bobbles the ball at the 45, and now he comes out to the near side, finds it up, climbs the road. There he goes across the 40, 35, 30. He breaks free again. Oh, my word. But there's a flag down at the 10-yard line, and this is going to come back as Champion Jr. races to the end zone.
McBryer
has the punch blocked. The Jets block the punch. It's loose. Picked up. Running in for a touchdown is Isaiah Trufant. The Jets are an extra point away from tying the game. It might have been Joe McKnight that blocked the punt. Trufant scores. Unbelievable.
Ah, you gotta love it. Week one in the NFL. And as the sports world was also marking the 10th anniversary of September 11th, there were some strange things that happened on the field. No doubt there are some fantasy players that were upset by the results. There were some people who were picking some of the games that were upset by the results. And there were some fans, more importantly, who were probably bitterly disappointed. Who picked the Bears to upset the Falcons 30-12? I'll tell you what, there's a player named Brian Urlacher. He is incredible. And we know that, right? He has an incredible ego, but his ego really matched his talent on the field. He was a big reason that the Bears did what they did. Some of the special teams and the defenses came up huge in the games. And in that route, he was huge in that route. In the meantime, you had like the Bengals beating the Browns, and that's like a who cares game, right? But that really should have been a layup, thinking, oh, this is going to be the Brownies taking this. But forget that game. The Chiefs, when did they lose at home last year? What did they do against the Bills? 41-7? The Bills give KC the worst home loss in 35 years. Now, really, is there anyone in this country that thought Buffalo was going to win that game? I have a friend from Buffalo. Maybe she did. But that's it. The Eagles did away with the Rams, as they should have. 31-13 was the final score in that game. Of course, everybody was wondering about Michael Vick and what would happen with Vick. He had a couple of touchdowns and, you know, threw for just under 200 yards. The Lions and the Buccaneers, and that one, you know, you could have flipped a coin at the tail end, except for Stafford throwing for 305 yards. And the Lions, and this would have been an obvious one, too. 27-20, though. And not even, I haven't even just, you know, scratched the surface yet, because really, the biggest you got to be kidding me game was the Ravens and the Steelers. Usually in the last couple of years, they've played each other tight, maybe a 4-point difference or whatever, somewhere in there. The Ravens had forced 7 Steelers turnovers, 35-7. It was a laugher. I mean, it was a laugher of a game. Joey Flacco couldn't be happier because he had 3 touchdowns and 230-some yards, whatever it was. But it was really the defense that came up so, so big. And a guy named Ray Rice on the ground from little old Rutgers University back many, many years ago, he was as solid can be on the ground, 170 yards and a touchdown. But that was a real stunner, a real stunner. I mean, probably one of the biggest layups going into the weekend, if you were picking a game, would have been the Texans, beating the Colts, because Peyton Manning was out and Kerry Collins was terrible right from the get-go. But probably if you were trying to pick a safe game, the Texans would have been it. And that's it. You get to the Sunday night game, and, oh, man, what in the world is going on with Tony Romo? We just had Steve Budin on the show. We have him on every week. And the Buddha man said that Tony Romo is just, he's never going to be an elite quarterback, and he showed that for sure in that Cowboy loss, because they had this game sewed up, and he blew it is what he did, with a terrible interception, 27-24 the end. If I were a Cowboy fan, I would just, I just would go into hiding for a day or two, because I don't know that I could face the world and not tear everybody up that I saw, and there were a lot of frustrated Cowboy fans. Was that not the craziest game?
I'm starting to think that Tony Romo has the Chris Webber syndrome going on now. Because remember back, Chris Webber was this elite player until that timeout call against Duke, and then never could perform well in the clutch since then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Tony Romo, he had that play against Seattle in the playoffs where he fumbled the ball, tried to get it into the end zone to win the game, couldn't do it. Yeah. And it's like ever since then, which I guess that was his kind of first year playing, so it's been ever since he's been playing the NFL, but it's like ever since then, he just comes up short in games where it's on the line.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up that one in Seattle, because that's when Bill Parcells decided to bail, because he just couldn't stomach what happened with Romo there. And it's an interesting analogy about Chris Webber, Mr. Timeout, because now that's a basketball analogy, but it works. You're right. He never could get it together after that, and it just never was the same. Even though they're two different sports, I like the analogy between the two.
Well, we'll give you a deep analysis here on ATN.
That's right. No, but it's a different one, but I like it. I mean, I'm thinking back to that game, watching that game. If you're going back to Weber, we're going back a ways.
Right.
And that was a frustrating game for a lot of people to watch, but more than that, it really ended up tagging him. And is Romo that same guy? Because he could have had this wrapped up.
They were ahead.
The defense was great.
Defense played great.
The defense was excellent.
And the Cowboys pretty much had the game in hand until Romo pretty much handed it to the Jets. He's running around again with his head cut off and diving for the end zone once again, fumbles. On like the 1 yard line, the Jets go down and score. And then, I don't know if they did score right then, but they got the ball back. Then they had the punt block for a touchdown. And
right.
Then Romo throws the pick where, I mean, maybe Dez Bryant's running the wrong route or whatever is going on. But still, I mean, Romo's he's just not a clutch guy.
He's
not somebody where, I guess, you know, my favorite team is the Vikings, where, you know, two years ago we had Brett Favre, and I'm like, hey, we're going to win this game. We got Brett Favre driving down the field. Not that it always happens, but you think that. When I see Tony Romo coming down the field, I'm not thinking that.
No. And what you're talking about, too, with the game was tied at 24, they had a chance to win. They had another chance back after the screw-ups to have this winning drive, just get them close enough, because they have a good field goal kicker.
Bueller or Bolton?
You want to say Bueller, but it's Bueller.
Not Bueller. Bueller, yeah.
Bueller. And he's got a great foot, and they just had to get him a little bit closer, and he probably would have hit it, and they would have won the game. So that's all they had to do. But instead, like you say, he's intercepted by Darrell Revis, who returns it for 20 yards to the Dallas 34. And, of course, Nick Folk ends up putting it between the uprights for him. And
the
Nick
ex-Cowboy.
He used to kick for the Cowboys. When I was covering the Cowboys, Nick Folk was kicking. It was ridiculous. It was like an extra point for him. He just kind of sucked in his breath and then just jammed it through the uprights. And, wow, what a horrible, horrible game for the Dallas Cowboys. And then New York, of course, in remembering 9/11, all the things that they did, the large American flag on the field, all that stuff, and they end up getting the game, winning the game. I mean, just a boneheaded.
It was a pretty crazy opening week when you think about it. The Packers-Saints game, you had a lot of action going on there. The Saints almost winning at the end.
Yeah.
It was a Carolina-Arizona. Carolina had a chance to win. Cam Newton's throwing for like 420 yards out of nowhere.
Yes. Yeah, the rookie.
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of craziness going on. And then San Francisco.
The Baltimore game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's NFL, it's unpredictable.
It is unpredictable. You know, that old tired saying, on any given Sunday, could never have been more true.